This is the state of things. I'm Frank Stachow. The KKK held an unlicensed rally outside of Orange County Courthouse on August 24th, and in response, counter-protesters showed up to block the rally and confront the Klan. Still more protesters marched this past weekend. The counter-protest was organized by the Hate Free Schools Coalition and Hillsborough Progressives Taking Action. Community members gathered by the old slave cemetery and walked about a mile to the courthouse, where they chanted, sang, and demonstrated their support for a hate-free Hillsborough. Joining us now is co-founder of the Hate Free Schools Coalition, LaTondra Strong. Welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Good afternoon.
It just turned afternoon.
Yes.
Just turned. Take us back to August 24th when you sort of stumbled on the Klan rally, I think, right?
Yeah, I was making a routine trip to our local dump. And came across the Klan and thought to myself, it was just remarkably in disbelief.
Yeah.
And I parked my car and parked a little further away because I had my children with me and walked over to the site where they are. And for at least 10 minutes, it was the Klan and myself alone in a face-off.
What do you do in a situation? I mean, you told me what you did, but I want to know what goes through your mind. There's the Klan. They're in my community. This is not what I stand for. But as you suggest, it is not safe necessarily to walk up and say you shouldn't be here.
Yeah, well, so I had heard that this element exists in our community, that there were people in Orange County who have robes in their closets. But in my 50 years of living, I thought that this was a thing of the past. And so as I'm approaching them, I'm thinking, what am I going to say? And, you know, am I going to risk my safety? And it just felt important for me to stand up, and in particular as a woman of color, to let them know that this is a different time and that we accept this behavior and that as a community we will collectively stand against this behavior.
What happened in that
Well, I did a live stream. HPTA had a alert system already employed. So within minutes, people started gathering, and we started making the Klan feel uncomfortable. And before you know it, members of the community actually crossed the street and stood in front of them, which was alarming because many of them had guns.
Yeah.
So they were armed.
Yeah. No.
So this was clearly not a safe situation, but it is also not safe to make this the norm in your community. And I think the people of Hillsborough said, no, this won't happen here.
And you didn't leave it at that. You decided then to plan a rally.
Yes.
After that.
So as the Klan was leaving, they said, we'll be back next week. And so with the full awareness of knowing that we could potentially come against the Klan again, we decided that we would organize a march. And when I did that permit on the Monday after facing the Klan, my expectation would be that it would be 200 people that would show up. And as you now know, there was closer to 1,000 people.
Yeah,
that showed
nearly 1,000 people who showed up to counter. And you have some history. Take us back, because you've also done some resistance about Klan presence in the schools,
yes.
Right, Klan?
Yes. So in 2015, our community decided to take off the name, the memorial name of our library, a longstanding library in the community. And in resistance to that, the Klan... flag wavers came to town with their Confederate flag and protested. And I will tell you that when that happened, they were outnumbered by members of the community who held up signs that said things like, my Southern heritage is iced tea, lemonade, those things that we all have come to know and love about being a part of the South. The students...
Right.
That were at that event on the flag waver side just bought that symbols of hate into our school.
Right.
So that was
in reaction to that, and then kids,
yes,
started showing up with the Confederate flags in the schools.
At the,
right,
schools, that's right.
In response to that, and then there was a movement, and we all remember this in the headlines, that the school board had to confront the question of whether or not to permit the Confederate flag in the schools.
Yes, and for me, we talk about the slippery slope of limiting free speech, and I don't I don't see this as about free speech at all. I really see this as more about the safety and about providing an environment for children to learn and to thrive in schools. And how could you thrive in schools? Questioning, even if someone's intentions is not racially charged, the fact that those symbols have been used subsequently, you know, to instigate and intimidate, suggests that we do more.
Ultimately, Orange County schools did ban Confederate flags, and I think other school districts followed suit as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I'm talking to LaTondra Strong, who is co-founder of the Hate Free Schools Coalition, and joining the conversation now is journalist Stephen Petro. He's a member of the Hillsborough community and a contributing columnist for The Washington Post. Welcome back, Stephen.
Thanks, Frank.
You wrote about this, and your column appeared in the Washington Post, right? I'm talking about now the Klan rally and then the counter-protests in Hillsborough.
I did. That was last week, and you know, I just want to say, you know, hats off to you because what you really did was heroic.
Thank you.
You know, this Klan group came down from Pelham, Caswell County. They were in Charlottesville 2 years ago. They were part of what happened there, where someone was killed, many were injured. You know, so it's you know, it's not just, you know, people in white robes and pointy hats. This is a dangerous group. And, you know, both as wearing my two hats as a journalist and as a local citizen, I'm proud of you. And also I was glad to be able to use the platform of the Post to sort of shine some light on what's happening in this little town.
The fact is it did gain national attention. Why do you think that is true? That
you know, I've seen the response to the column and people are just astounded that the Klan still exists. You know, it's 2019. We have iPhones. Everything streams. It seems so modern. You see these pictures of the KKK, and it seems like they're in black and white from another time. And then you're in your own town, they're standing in front of the courthouse, and it's jarring. And so I think people really had a difficult time putting that together. But I also think that's why it's so important to talk about it and to talk about what their messages of hate are, because you know, before the march this past Saturday, some of them came down again and dropped off these flyers all around town. You know, they said things like AIDS cures fags, God's law, have you forgotten? The clock is ticking, wake up white America, join the Klan and save our land. You know, you wake up in your house and that's in your flower pot in your front porch. That's not acceptable.
Right. And it is dangerous. You talked about Charlottesville. There's death and violence and mass shootings now associated with white nationalism. The premise of white supremacy is killing Americans. It's a violent concept that ends in death. So when you talk about safety, it's not just a matter of flying a flag, and it ain't sweet tea and supper on the ground. You know, there's a lot of ways to do this, and those flags represent slavery and the oppression of a people.
And what we've learned, too, is that these groups are growing in numbers. So there is that piece of it that I think is also important to share.
Well, let me ask you about that, because there is this question. I'll ask you both, and I'll start with you, LaTondra. This difficult question, I'm sure you've confronted it yourself, with whether or not the attention is the thing that helps them grow. In other words, it certainly cannot represent the majority, because the majority, they're not the majority.
Right.
I mean, the people who made America great are the people who they talk against.
That's right.
Right. And they are a minority. So maybe they're dying out, and maybe this attention is just what they need. Do you wrestle with them?
So I was just talking to Steve just before we came on, and the fact of the matter is that we in our community have been mobilizing and growing this attention on this sort of tension between the races since 2015, and that gets no press, but the Klan shows up, right? So for 4 weeks now, we've had this sort of standoff. The week before was 120 people. The week before that, it was 80 people in a small town like Hillsborough fighting these flag wavers, which carry the same history and the same beliefs, you know, ill beliefs towards members of our community. And it got no press. And so the struggle is how much do we center the Klan in this story when the story is really about who we are as a community and how we're going to be in community together and tolerate that people have different opinions and different views.
And I thought a lot about this question, too, when I was writing my story. And I'll just tell you this little anecdote. Tom Rankin, who's a photographer in Hillsborough, took this photograph of the Klan banner last week. And as you alluded to, it said, "Help make America great again." And then it had the URL, the website for this group. And when he sent it up to the Post, he scratched out the URL because he and I did not want to promote, to give them greater promotion. Mm-hmm. The Post rightfully didn't want to run a photograph that had been altered because then it could be like President Trump and drawing, you know, that extra circle on yes. the map. Who knows? So it's really a question of balance. And in the story that I did, you know, I focused on the message of the Klan, which is hate. And I think, as I said before, you know, we'd need to hear. But I also focused on, even more so, on the counter-protesters and what their message was, mm-hmm. That hate has no home in Hillsborough. That was That's their right. main message. That's and, right. You know, it's a little bit of yin and yang. And I think we have to be aware of this balance.
Yeah, and I suppose the other thing is when you mobilize, you have upwards of 1,000 people who show up for the rally. And I guess there's another great story about the chocolate shop, and
right.
maybe we should tell that story as well, because right. I think it does demonstrate the will of a majority of people, most of the people in that community anyway, to support a more inclusive community. Yeah. Maybe you can tell the story.
So we'll tell you briefly. The chocolate shop owner people were not coming to his store as frequently because the flag wavers were out standing in front of his store. And he put up a sign that was disparaging against Confederates and Confederate enthusiasts, let me say. And they do what they do often, and that is take a picture of it and then spread it across the black web and drum up this negative interest. And so he started receiving death threats. And actually, my understanding is it affected some of his vendor relationships as well. And, we just decided that Hillsborough is a small community. We're thankful for the businesses that we have in our town, and that them trying to close one of our businesses was not acceptable. So we put out a report and said, hey, we're going to organize. We're going to be in Hillsborough this weekend, and we are all going to buy chocolate from Matthew's Chocolate. And he actually sold out to the woman. We sold him out for every piece of chocolate he could not open the next day.
So if you're going to put a guy out of business, do it that way.
Yes.
I just want to say I have no financial connection to Matthew's Chocolates on Churton Street or mm-hmm. Matthew Shepard, the owner.
Yes.
But it is the best chocolate around town.
I'd have to agree.
Stephen, you're a transplant, I know, to North Carolina, but in the 70s, you had your own brush with the Klan, right? Tell us that story.
I did. It was the year after I graduated from Duke. And I was working in Surrey County, which is the Mount Airy area. Yeah. And I rented a little house from this nice couple. And they took a shining to me, probably because I seemed like I was one of them. They didn't know because I didn't tell them that I was gay or that I was Jewish or that I was a progressive. And he was a member of that local Klan group then. Mm. And he invited me to go to a cross burning, which... I was foolhardy enough to say yes to, because mm-hmm. I think I was, 21 or 22. Wow. And it was one of the most frightening things, and probably stupid things that I did, but very visceral, very real. And, and just kind of like this event, opened up part of history to me that made it much more personal, made me feel much more vulnerable, and certainly stayed with me, mm-hmm. And this is not all in the past. I think, one of the messages from this conversation is, this is happening now. Mm-hmm. And, we have a state of emergency about Hurricane Dorian, but we have a state of emergency about hate in the state, too.
Absolutely.
Latondra, what give us the climate now in Hillsborough this week and how you think things are sort of what the balance is at this moment.
So I think people feel good about having showed up for the rally. I think there is a small part of Hillsborough that is very angry that we did have such a show of support. And so the tension is there. And I think the tension of not knowing what's the next move by the Klan, if you will. So we have work to do. I think that there are members of our leadership that are really thinking about what can we do as a community to move this in a direction that would not make this a repeated offense in Chapel, I'm sorry, in Hillsborough. So we, you know, we have lots of work to
do. It seems to me that, you know, you've got the sort of the proximate battle, which is to wipe this thing out so that we don't see this sort of infection on our streets. But then as you grow these collaborations and networks, it seems the possibility of showing what community really is the next step. And I wonder if there's any thought to that or any conversation about what we do with this network of the willing now as we move forward beyond just telling the Klan to stay out.
Yeah. So we plan to have, there was about 20 organizations that formed with us. We plan to have some conversations with those organizations to think about what the next steps are. We do expect to mobilize more organizations with us and to have some open conversations and dialogue about how we get to the healing place that we need in our community.
You know, one thing that struck me in the week leading up to your counter-protest was also the way the different parties came together. Mm-hmm. Your group met with the chief of police and with town officials. So there was a lot of discussion and collaboration, which doesn't happen in many communities. And I think helped make for, you know, both a safe environment, but the, you know, the messages from those entities have also been, you know, very much against white supremacy.
That's right. This was clearly a collaboration between city government, our local government and community members.
Latondra Strong is the co-founder of the Hate-Free Schools Coalition. Stephen Petro, contributing columnist to The Washington Post. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
You can find links to their work at our website, stateofthings.org. You can also sign up for our newsletter and get a daily preview of the lineup. State of Things is produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, Amanda Magnus, Grant Hullab-Mormon. Robin Copley is our technical director. Josie Taras is our intern. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.